podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another captain video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Is it Salah again to captain, or dare we be different and go for a defender? My name is Joe, and joining me to discuss the best armband candidates for game week 13 is Fantasy Football Scout's Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joe. It's up at Villa Park at the weekend, so obviously pleased with how that went. And
it was a disaster. What are you talking about?
Good start with Gerrard, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Obviously, not so much if you're a Brighton fan like yourself. But yeah, good weekend, and now getting ready for a kind of a busy period for fantasy managers now.
Yes, definitely. And before we look at the main candidates for this week and also discuss the chance of captaining a defender, I understand you've got a few words to say about a fan team.
Yep. So they have just launched their second half of the season game this week, which doesn't start till the 14th of January. So you've got plenty of time to tinker. But it's a really good one. It's free entry to this one. And if you win it, you get 20K. But there's also prizes right down to, I believe, about the 4,000th position. So it's well worth a look. It doesn't start till the 14th of January, which is in the middle of the African Cup of Nations. So no Salah, probably no Mane either. But that might be quite an interesting time to experiment with some kind of differential captain picks, or maybe. And it's free, so no real reason not to try it. And you can start building your teams now. So, have a look.
Right, yeah, let's move on to the captaincy candidates. We've got to start with Salah. The stats I've got up on the screen here are the last four game weeks' expected goal involvement. Just to put Salah into perspective, he's obviously top of there. And he's top of so many metrics, or near to the top. So last game week, heavily captained again. We're looking at something like 190% effective ownership where my rank is. Not the highest score in some of our teams, but he delivered again. And he has another home game against Southampton next. So do we dare captain a defender, or do we just stick with Salah? Keep it simple.
Yep, well, this Liverpool attack just seems to be on another level right now, doesn't it? I think they have now scored at least two goals in their last 15 games in all competitions, which is quite staggering, really. And they are just an attack which we can trust. And the same goes for Salah. We can trust him with that captaincy each week, can't we? Hasn't blanked since game week two. And I don't really think we need to go over the underlying numbers, because they're in a different level to anybody else right now. We should probably mention the opposition this week, Southampton. And it did feel like they were improving, didn't it, before the weekend? They'd kept three clean sheets in their last four games prior to Norwich. And it felt like they were turning a bit of a corner. But there were some familiar failings on show against Norwich, conceded a couple of sloppy goals. Given that result, given what we saw on the pitch, I mean, everything points towards Salah yet again, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, has to there. The second name on the list of Liverpool players there is Alexander Arnold. So not Mane, just above him, not Jota, who's playing up front. And Firmino's still there, still trucking along with the expected goal involvement, even though he's injured at the moment. But, you know, within that time frame, still figuring there. But it's Alexander Arnold, a defender, who outscored Salah. And I'm going to say outscored him again. It was another double-digit haul. Him, Cancelo, Reece James, Chilwell, all of them capable of hauls, these wing backs, full backs, midfielders out of position. Let's start with that. We'll come to some of those other names a bit later, but Alexander Arnold in this fixture, he could be the better captain, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what are the advantages to captaining a defender over Salah? Well, you get an additional 3 points for a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. Salah, of course, is a midfielder, so he still gets one. and you get one extra point for a goal. So it's whether how you weigh that up. I haven't seen enough from that to consider switching from Salah to a defender, but I can see why some people are giving it thought, given the way he's playing, given the numbers that he's posting. If I was going to do it, I would personally pick a game probably against that kind of group at the very bottom of the table. And by that, I mean the Norwiches, I mean the Newcastles, that kind of thing. Southampton obviously lost against Norwich, but it still feels that they're a level above that kind of group there. So it's not something I've given a massive amount of thought to. I did have a quick look at some stats earlier, and Southampton are conceding a lot of crosses from their left, which adds a bit of weight to the Alexander-Arnold argument for captaincy. I think Trent's returned and put an attacking return in 5 game weeks out of 10 that he's played this year. So you really need that clean sheet to make it a worthwhile move, because he's not going to get as many attacking returns, obviously, as Salah. Yeah. So you're going to need that clean sheet. So it depends how you view that Liverpool defence. It depends how you view the attack of Southampton as to when, because he needs really that clean sheet, I think, to keep up with Salah. It's not something which I've looked at too much, but I can see why people are.
Yeah, so. No, definitely. Just before we have a look at the latest team defence stats, so the so-called Whipping Boys table of the last 4, I just want to welcome those that have joined us in the live chat. So welcome Exploring Klaus E. King, Say It Gambian Guna. I don't know if he's an actual royalty there, but welcome Your Highness. Rommel, FPL Sparta, Matthew, DJ Cool T. Wow, just sounds cool. Ben Lund, Klaus E. I think I mentioned Klaus before. Game World, and simply the Premier League chat. So welcome to all. They'll be dancing in the streets of Premier League chat after that mention, I presume. So welcome all for joining us. Only 17 likes though, so press that like button, smash it, nurture it, whatever you do with it, just press that like button. Does something to do with youth and algorithms that is beyond me and Tom, probably.
Me too.
Do press that like button, and thanks so much for joining us. Let's carry on then. So this is the Whipping Boys table. So I guess the first thing we'll look at is Southampton, because you were mentioning we thought their defence had been quite good, then they conceded to Norwich. But nevertheless, in the last 4, they, in terms of expected goals conceded, only Chelsea are better than them. They're actually bottom of this table. This is the Whipping Boys table, so they're joint second top. They're clean, couple of clean sheets there. Big chance to concede, just 2. And we can see the worst teams here. So these are the teams to target: Everton, Manchester United, Norwich, although remains to be seen with Norwich, because under new management. And I was going to say the same about Aston Villa as well.
And Newcastle as well.
And Newcastle indeed. Luckily, Newcastle do have a manager who is not renowned for his clean sheet, so it could actually be even worse. But nevertheless, looking at that, it looks like Manchester United and Everton could be the teams to target at the moment on current form. Especially Everton. Manchester United have a sort of an interim to the interim to the interim to the interim caretaker manager. With Chelsea facing Manchester United, does that give some credibility to captaining Reece James and Chilwell?
Well, it isn't a fixture you would traditionally look at as a captaincy for a wing back, is it? But given the state of play at United at the moment, it might not be such a bad shout to look at it. But Reece James has been incredible recently, hasn't he? I mean, 53 points over the last 4 game weeks. He's got 3 goals, couple of assists. You add in some clean sheets as well. It's a good fixture. The thing is with United, though, is they do have a certain Ronaldo up front who happens to be a pretty good striker. And he has that ability on his day to pull things out of the bag from nothing. And so relying on a clean sheet in certain fixtures, for instance, Liverpool up against Southampton, when you're up against Che Adams and Adam Armstrong, who are okay forwards, but obviously when Chelsea are up against United, you've got the likes of Ronaldo and Fernandes and Rashford, and you could easily lose that clean sheet just from a moment of magic from one of those guys. So not something I'm looking at for captaincy, but certainly if you've got the Jameses and the Chilwells in your team, you're obviously going to start them this week.
And also Cancelo as well. I mean, I got him in. I was a bit nervous when I brought him into my team a few weeks back because I just thought, oh, I'm just going to take a risk. He's the guy that, you know, might miss out. But he's not. He started 12. He's nailed on. But they face West Ham. So just one clean sheet in the last four, though, with West Ham. And they have conceded six big chances. Cancelo is a possibility to captain as well. We've got to slightly figure that this is for those that don't want to captain Salah. Who else you're looking for? So Cancelo, I think, would be quite high up still, even if it is West Ham. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's taken more shots than any other City player this season, which is kind of crazy stat, isn't it? Admittedly, he's benefited from the amount of minutes that he's played, and quite a few of those shots are from range, but he's putting up great numbers. Feels like a difficult match against West Ham. West Ham's away form had been very good up until that defeat at the weekend. I think they hadn't lost since mid-April, but then obviously went to Wolves and struggled a bit, lost narrowly there. If I was looking at a City player this week, I'd probably look at Foden. Given that Ogbonna's now out, and I know that Bruno Lage at the weekend, he played Podence. And he said in his post-match interview that he had played Podence because he had looked at West Ham's centre-backs in Zouma and Dawson, who's now come in, and said that they thought they'd benefit from sticking in a player who's quite agile and quick and try and get round them that way. And so it makes you think that if Foden is handed a role a bit more central this week, maybe, could be a good option up against those centre-backs. So that's maybe where I'd look. But Cancelo, I mean, a great player and a great option for our FPL teams. City, don't know what you think, Joe, I'd probably rank them as the best defence in the division. So if you're targeting clean sheets, that's where I'd look. Obviously, Liverpool and Chelsea are great as well, but the very best, the very top level, I'd probably say is City.
Seriously considering getting Edison in, which goes against all my thoughts of structure, and this is something probably for the scout cast, not the captaincy. But if you want to get to tap into that clean sheet potential, Diaz, Laporte, Stones, there's rotation going on there. Cancelo is the one to get, and if you want to get a bit more for that clean sheet, it's going to be Edison, really, I think.
It feels like you need to double to benefit from it now because everyone's going to own Cancelo. Not one I've looked at for captaincy again with Cancelo. I think if I was going to pick a defender out of those three options we touched on, it probably would be Alexander-Arnold this week.
I've got another table here which sort of backs that up. It backs up what you're saying about Foden, and it also backs up what you just said there about Alexander-Arnold. So this is expected goal involvement last four game weeks. Josh King, who faces Leicester, is at the top. Watford's fixtures. Leicester is quite a good one for them. Then the next two fall off a cliff. Then it gets much better again. So Josh King could be a player to consider bringing in.
You can bench him at that price.
Yeah. But nevertheless, he's at the top there. Underlined Salah, expected goal involvement. He's second there with expected to be involved in just under four goals. And he scored four goals. Benteke is trucking along there. Aubameyang. Then Alexander-Arnold. So Alexander-Arnold is the fifth best in terms of expected goal involvement, which says something, really. You've got a few like Mane, Saka, Trossard. Then your man Foden that you mentioned here. And this is why if you're going to back someone who's expected to be involved in goals from Manchester City, Foden on paper would be the one there. Yeah. And Bowen is there, which underlines... once again, we've spoken about him lots of times, and I think we have said one week we will be mentioning Bowen in the captaincy conversation.
I think the fixtures turn. I think it might be in 16 or around about that point. So suddenly Antonio and Bowen will probably become a bigger topic in these videos.
Yeah, definitely. I've got another table here as well. This is one of my own tables of attacking defenders. So once again, you know, for those that don't want to captain Salah this week, these and are considering a defender, these are the best ones. So expected goal involvement, Alexander Arnold top, then Reece James, and then Cancelo. Reguilón at Tottenham, he did indeed score, and he has spoken about that he's been told to score and assist. So yes, interesting. Kyle Walker could have a goal there. Henry at Brentford. Rika, I'm not, once again, not for the captaincy, but it does underline his potential. No. Rudiger, and on the Scoutcast tonight, I'm going to put my goals imminent table up on him. Well, you know, is Rudiger due some more, maybe? Davis at Tottenham. Then Chilwell. Chilwell's quite low down there, but it's more looking at his assist potential there. He's on 13 corners, created 7 chances, and then 3 clean sheets. So he's got a nice breadth of potential for points. Perhaps not
He was a bit unfortunate at the weekend, I thought, not to return more as well. He had a good game.
He did have a good game. And then Tarkowski there for Burnley. Yeah. Once again, not for the captaincy conversation, but this underlines that there are plenty to choose from if you want to go for a defender for the captaincy. Let's have a look at the remaining fixtures. I mean, we mentioned a lot of the key names, particularly with that focus on defenders here. So, you know, looking at the fixtures there, anyone else spring to mind? Any non-defenders?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few we should mention. You've got Spurs going to Burnley. Watch the game, obviously, on Sunday. Kane against Leeds. I thought they improved after the break.
Yes, Kane had a shot.
They both hit the woodwork, didn't they? He had 3 shots in the box, I think, in total in the game. I thought, just from watching the game, I was kind of encouraged by it, I think. He seemed to be quite hungry, he seemed to be quite motivated, seemed to be getting into some good positions in the box. Whether or not you want to... We spoke earlier about trusting Liverpool because of what they've done over the past... or across the whole season in terms of their attacking level. We haven't got that with Spurs. So you're taking a punt on not only Kane, but on Spurs performing as well. And that might be a bit too much for some. I'm happy to hold him this week. Burnley are improving a little bit, come into a bit of form recently. They did concede 3 against Palace at the weekend. The key point is they'll be without Tarkowski and Westwood this weekend, who are both suspended. So that's going to be... Okay.
So Kane is... Yeah, I mean, he's my vice-captain at the moment. So,
same.
Sounds like for your team as well, with mine, he is, I believe, in my team, the second best option. And that's ahead of Alexander-Arnold. I can't quite bring myself personally to captain Alexander-Arnold.
I'm not quite there yet either.
Just yet. Not with Salah. But yeah, Kane. What about Son owners? Captaincy?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there, captain. I mean, from watching the game, again, there were a couple of nice moments. It doesn't feel like that Spurs attack is truly clicking at the moment. And that's to be expected. You know, they've played, 3 games under Conte so far. It's going to take a bit of time. Of course, he's a player that can do well. I think... we might revisit this in a couple of weeks when they play Norwich at home, I think it is. They've got Brentford after this week and then Norwich. And depending on how these next couple of games go, this, you know, there might be a bit more weight behind a Kane or a Son captaincy then. Burnley might make it difficult for them. I think they've lost 1 in their last 7, though. Yeah. But obviously Tarkowski being out and Westwood, that's a big loss for them.
Aubameyang against Newcastle. That appeals to me. I don't own Aubameyang and I'd own Salah. So obviously Salah's got the captaincy for me. But I'd be tempted. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be especially tempted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Newcastle haven't kept a clean sheet all season still.
There we go.
No team has conceded more. I think they're level with Norwich. So they've obviously brought in Eddie Howe, who kept the back 3 at the weekend for most of the game. They played Shelvey and Willock in central midfield. Now, that kind of worries me as a midfield shield in front of a back 3. I'm not quite sure if that's going to work. And that suggests goals against them.
Yeah.
They did switch it later on in the game when they chased the game and went to a back four. But Aubameyang, he's been a bit unlucky recently. I think he was unfortunate against Watford when he came out with a minus one. I think when missed a penalty, had a goal disallowed. I think got a yellow card, and yeah, you know, it feels like if you own him, it's a good week for Aubameyang, isn't it? You've probably got him over Kane or whatever as your premium striker, so he's probably going to be your vice this week. They were completely outplayed at the weekend, weren't they, Arsenal? But to be expected, really. They're a level below those top three teams. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't do well in this fixture against pretty poor Newcastle team, I think.
Anyone else that's worthy of our consideration before we go?
Well, we should mention Vardy, shouldn't we, at home against Watford? But the problem is Leicester. They're just not playing well. They've won two of their last nine.
And Watford are playing well, aren't they?
And if you've got a Watford forward, you spoke about King, if you've got Saar. Leicester haven't kept a clean sheet since game week one. They've got Tielemans out now. Yeah. Really important player. Rodgers touched on that after the game at the weekend on how much they're going to miss him. And they just don't, I don't know what their best system is, Leicester. You know, they play back threes, they play back fours. They've been playing Lookman and Barnes. Then they've been bringing on Maddison and Iheanacho at half-term. And it seems like Rodgers, he just doesn't know what his best kind of formation and system is at the moment. But for Vardy, he's blanked, I think, four in a row now.
Yeah.
And he's only had three shots during that time. Mm. Now Daka's had the same amount and he's played for 65 minutes over that period. So he's not getting the service at the moment. So you probably want to see something from Leicester before going there. Better option might be Jimenez, maybe at Norwich.
Norwich, yeah, that looks a good call actually. And Pukki, indeed. The only thing that, against Pukki is that it's Wolves' defence. I like the look of Wolves' defence.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well, Wolves, at the moment, aren't they?
Trossard v Rafinha for the proper barrel scraping stuff. Trossard could be there. Rafinha, if back, could be. But, you know, they can't
compete.
They looked
a bit blunt.
They
looked a bit blunt at the weekend, Brighton. At Villa, they didn't carry much threat, especially when the wing-backs came off. And they struggled a bit in that area.
Ollie Watkins was given a lot of space. Not to take it away from him, but he was almost allowed to do what he did. And then I think of Rafinha my immediate thought as a Rafinha owner was, even though I'm a Brighton fan, I think Rafinha might score next week.
We need an update on Rafinha, don't we? Because he missed the weekend match, and I know it was just illness, but I haven't heard anything further about that illness. You always worry when you see an illness and you think COVID, but obviously I don't know that. I have no idea what it is, and I don't think we've had an update since, so it'd be great to hear from Bielsa of
It could just be a bad cold or some kind of fever.
Exactly. It's that time of year, isn't it? So let's hope that it's that, but we probably need an update on that. And then, you know, we spoke about Everton, or you saw them in that table.
Yeah.
They're struggling big time at the moment. They've got a lot of injuries. Richarlison suspended this weekend. Damaro Gray's got an injury. He came off last weekend to add to Calvert-Lewin, Decore and Mina. And yes, suddenly if you own an Mbeumo or a Tony, obviously not a captain, but probably quite good options this week, given those injury problems and suspension issues at Everton.
Definitely. Well, you know, we've scraped the Tony barrel for this one. Obviously Salah, but as the title of this video and podcast shows, that we are starting to think about captaining defenders, and these defenders that we're talking about, the likes of Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo, Reece James, Chilwell, they are behaving like captains. And so perhaps we should be treating them like captains going forward. But in the meantime, Tom, good luck with your decision once again to captain Salah. Good luck with the rest of your game week. And we'll see you again next time.
Right, thanks, Joe. See you soon.